Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to Banning the Gospel.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, Patriots. And tonight is Thursday, May 2nd in the year 2024. Today was a very big day in American history with the passage of H.R. 6090, which is an anti-Semitic law put in place by the House of Representatives that is, in its effect, has essentially made the gospel now illegal. This is the world that we now live, a world that is run by a Zionist cult, a world that is run by pedophiles, a world that fears Jesus in its leadership because they know the accountability that they'll be held to, and they know the burning hell that they'll live in for all that they have done. And so it's important for us to stand strong right now, dig deeper into the word, and defy everything they say. Proudly, I can tell you that this morning I incrementally went through every step of the new anti-Semitic law, the major points anyway, and I'm ensured that we violated every one. Because I'll tell you, this is insane. You cannot have a protected class of people. I'm sick and tired of the pulpits that are worshiping Israel. I'm sick and tired of the Christians that are worshiping Israel while they slaughter innocent children. And I'm sick and tired of the blind obedience to an idolatry that has nothing to do with the power of God. So this is a time now that people are going to have to choose. Choose which side you are on. Choose who you worship. Choose who you serve. And ultimately, I hope you choose well. Because Jesus is king. And if they don't have Jesus in their heart, then you're following a false worship. And the penalty, ultimately, is death. Patriots, before we begin tonight, one thing that's exceedingly clear is we are into some very chaotic and crazy times. So much uncertainty that is before us, and it's time to very much prepare as much as we can. Now, the world that we're living in is changing. To which direction it goes, we don't know. But one thing is for certain, they are trying to take away your retirement savings, and they're doing everything they can. They're shredding every aspect of the convention that we have, I mean, gaining the wealth for themselves. Do yourself a favor and take position for your retirement savings and get it backed by gold. All you have to do is text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. That's BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. And Birch Gold will send you an information packet for free. Read through it, get informed, then give them a call. If you have an existing 401k or IRA, they will convert it over to a precious metals-backed retirement account for free. They'll advise you on gold and silver, on precious metals. They will advise you as well on the best ways to set up an IRA and 401k. They're a great group. So again, text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. Receive that free information packet, read through it, give them a call, and take that action today. It is important. Time is ticking, and we need to make sure that what you've gained in your wealth is preserved for as long as we have this world, whatever that looks like. Now, Patriots, there's obviously a lot going on with this bill and this bill of H.R. 6090, as it is called. It's something that's rather draconian. Let me read you. This is from Shadow Ezra on X. Congress votes to make the Bible illegal hate speech. The Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, which is what it's called, which is H.R. 6090, which passed the House today, will cause the gospel to meet the definition of anti-Semitism. The following speech will be banned: accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel than their own nation, claims of Jews killing Jesus or blood libel, making claims about Jews controlling the government. Imagine not being able to link Mossad to Jeffrey Epstein to Ghislaine Maxwell anymore. The implication of this bill would mean more censorship here on X, since Elon would claim he has to follow the law and suspend accounts critical of Israel. The entire point of those college protests was to strip away your constitutional rights of free speech and assembly. Today is also the first day of Jewish American Heritage Month. There's a shocker. The Prime Minister of Israel has already bragged about creating and promoting laws in the U.S. to censor critics. Will Elon Musk fight this bill with as much energy as he fought for freedom of speech in Brazil and other countries? That's to be determined. One of the things, this is the Prime Minister of Israel tweeted out today, or X'd out today, whatever we say. It was also not for nothing that the American administration has taken this step together with us. In recent years, we have promoted laws in the most U.S. states, which determine that strong action is to be taken against whoever tries to boycott Israel. This is a true fact. And we are in a country now that is completely in the hand puppet of Israel. These bills is anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred towards Jews. Rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed towards Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and or their property, towards Jewish community institutions and religious facilities. And the one thing that they have in this, in these points, which include using the symbols and images associated with classical anti-Semitism, example, claims of Jews killing Jesus or blood libel to characterize Israel and the Israelis. We are now in a full-blown tyranny of a country that is now spiraling deeper and deeper into the abyss of the Babylonian hell that they wish to generate for us. This is real. It's not an imagination. It's a bill that's actually there. What's interesting is there was a circulated post going around a few days ago that ended up being non-confirmed. I won't say it was false, but non-confirmed, which is that Congress was considering or had passed, no, was considering to pass a bill that said that if there was any consideration to rewrite the narrative of 9/11, that it would become illegal. I will guarantee you, whether that is spoken or actually done, it is in the hearts of these fools. We are in a time right now when we are seeing the privileged class, who they are. They're being revealed in full. And now take this as an opportunity to see who your enemy is. Your enemy is in plain sight. Your enemy is being worshipped at pulpits. Your enemy is being cheered along at pulpits. It's an enemy that openly tells you that you are going to be their slaves, that you are goyim, that you are going to be cattle to them. That's the enemy we face. And yet we have so much support for them blindly waving Israeli flags just like they waved Ukrainian flags. Get the picture? Americans have literally become so indoctrinated and so brain dead on these subjects, they cease to think anymore other than what mainstream media tells them. And here's what's most disturbing, because this takes us back to COVID-Con. And to the credit of President Trump, he gave every effort he could to reveal the cures that we would need to address the coming virus. He talked about the therapies of light. He talked about the use of hydroxychloroquine. He talked about the use of chlorine dioxide long before we even understood its effects. They talked about sun and light to destroy the virus. And he had told us for 4 years, the enemy is the media is the enemy of the people. And yet, once he spoke those things and the media began to do its rant, the people lockstepped in with the media. These are the same people that will watch a film. They'll look at the film and they'll say, my goodness, look at that film. This is a group of people that are rebels. They watch Star Wars, they align with the rebels. They watch any film that goes with the rebels and they're going to side with the rebels. That's when they watch The Matrix, they side with the rebels. But when it comes to real life, what's happening? In real life, there's no courage to lock in step with the rebels. Instead, we have people that are lockstepping in with the enemy, being complicit and compliant with everything the enemy does. This is a problem. And it's a problem in America right now that we're facing, that it has no courage to stand for what is right and what must be done. And it's a sad statement of where we are. We are in a place right now in this nation that we have to start making some very hard choices. And it's not hard choices of anger and violence. It's hard choices of stepping into a higher order of existence, to love thy neighbor, to stand against this evil. Pedophiles are the evil. It's not a political class. It's not a religious institution. It's not a temple. It's pedophiles. Pedophiles who seek to vulturize the children and the innocence of this world. And if we can't identify them and strike against them, then we're not doing our job. Now, let me clarify that, because we had a very powerful show this morning. I would encourage you to listen to it. But the point is that we have the ability within the spirit to slay these things. And we're going to go into some news and things tonight, but I'm going to close tonight with some stories of God speaking today, profoundly speaking, on our mission of what we are intending to do, what we must do, with confirmational words everywhere around me today that it openly acknowledges that in the spirit, our mission is to attack them and destroy them and do so ruthlessly as Joshua attacked Jericho, as Joshua took on his enemies. That is our role in the spirit. And it is a targeted class of people that are using children for their benefit and for their power that must be openly destroyed. They must be ruthlessly pursued, and they must be eliminated. We do not have room in this world for this class of people. These are the people that destroy innocence. These are the people that are destroying the future of a world because they're going after the children to groom them, to harm them, to destroy everything that they are so that for the rest of their lives, they're entrapped in bodies that are tormented, bodies that are split, bodies that struggle and fight between themselves because early on they were molested, they were raped, they were tortured. And for those are just the ones that survive. For the ones that are trafficked and used and ultimately murdered, we can't even imagine the signature of spiritual energy that that places upon this earth. This is our world today. And it's time to get fired up. It's time to get the righteous fires of anger flowing through you. It's the righteousness to understand that we have a right to stand up against this, not a will to stand against it or to stand on the side and let it happen. And the way we fight it is not to have to worry about, well, let's see if I can be a door kicker, if I can be a guy that can do an assault on a building. We are all given the tools of war within us, and it begins with prayer. And this is prayer warfare at its extreme. Prayer warfare to be able to go in, and like in Acts, where we had the testimonies given to Paul about the buying of land, where literally Ananias and Sapphira spoke lies to Paul and dropped dead because they spoke lies to the Holy Spirit. This is the fire which we carry within us. This is the accountability which God gives us. And it's time now that we use that in a powerful way, in a powerful weapon, to take a change and make a change in this world, to free the children, set them free, and to destroy their captors, and to work in concert with those that are doing the literal work on the ground in the physical realm. We begin all things in the spirit. We fight our wars first in the spirit. We take our counsel first in the spirit. We take our counsel through Holy Spirit. And when we do that, we find our way through this. We can discern who's good and evil. We can see the hearts of men and women that have gone astray. When you sever that spiritual tie to them, they are left in the flesh to now make a choice, and a profound choice it is. It's a choice to either admit and submit to the deliverance and to the repentance that God demands for these crimes that they have done, or suffer the consequences of eternal death. They've seen in Christ on the cross, when the thief looks at Jesus and he says to the other, he says, we belong here. He does not. That is the heart of a repentant criminal. And what we need to see is that the repentant criminal are those that will be allowed to pass on. But their judgment still is held. But to face anything other than that in this world for the crimes that they've done against children, they are literally going to live a lifetime of death outside of God, alone, in the abyss. This is openly where we have to be and where we have to find and seek them out. We are now developing over these next months and years. We will be developing the teams, the prayer teams, the warrior teams. They will be working together, connecting with one another, waging brutal war against these spirits. This is warfare that has no prisoners. We do not take prisoners of this type of evil. You slay it, you destroy it, you leave it. This is what we do. So rather than waiting to the end, I'll slide right into what about today, which is powerful. Last night, we had our show. This morning, I received a note from Michelle Svensson that told me to listen to her polo, Marco Polo, and it was marked ASAP. I did. Now, I happen to know that Michelle and Leah ran a late show last night. It went past midnight. And so that show was one that they didn't even have a chance to listen to our show here last night. She shared a dream, and the most amazing thing is her dream reflected so many pieces of what I spoke of last night. It was evident that the Holy Spirit had lit that up. So we began our show this morning, and what became clear was truly what the profound sense of what we were trying to achieve, that through this concept that God put on my heart over a year ago, Operation Vineyard, which was based on the three pillars of rescue, heal, restore, We've talked about this. I've played with this in the sense of organizing and what it meant. I prayed on it. We put it to others to pray, and nothing has come of it. And this morning it broke. This morning God showed the way, because what we were doing and what we've been talking about is a physical infrastructure. What is it like to build intelligence cells and operator cells and safe havens for kids to physically go to? All those are important in the flesh. But Operation Vineyard took on a completely different view this morning in prayer and through the process of all that we went through in our show. And what it became was this, that God is asking for the development of a special forces type prayer teams. Prayer teams that can wage a war against these entities in the spirit. Prayer teams that are ruthless, that are fearless, that have the heart of Joshua, to wage a spiritual war against those that are harming and doing ill to the little ones. That means whether it's millstones or whether it's literally the sword of the spirit to destroy them, that they are slain and they are left with no mercy, no mercy at all, just like Jericho. And in so doing, to free those chains and bonds into the flesh. That opens up the opportunity for operators on the ground, whether they're military types or whether they're engagement types of Jesus. And meaning that when they go in, these people now no longer have their ties, their anchors, their protection of the spirit, because we've severed it. It is freeing the children in the spiritual realm. And it's leaving their captors, their abusers, their rapists, their molesters, their pedophiles. They're leaving them without that anchor in the spirit that exposes them. It brings them to light, and that brings them to the exposure to the world, which they so much deserve. Now with this, that was the vision of this morning, understanding very well that Operation Vineyard was literally a project that was to be waged first and foremost in the spirit. So today I taught my class. And so much more was just reinforcement after reinforcement from Father God that this was the way to go forward. So later this afternoon, I went over and there's a particular massage therapist here at the Church of Glad Tidings. She's very gifted. She speaks in tongues. She talks in the spirit, walks in the spirit when she does her work, and it's powerful. And I went over and had an appointment with her for my hip. She works on me for about an hour. And near the end, she begins to speak. And it was as if I was listening to my podcast. I said, "Did you listen to my show?" She goes, "I haven't listened to you for months." She says, "I'm just speaking what God's saying." And she begins with this. She says, "When we rescue the children, it's when the new earth begins to be built, when kingdom begins to come." I said, "That resonates well." And she continues on. She says, "These people are evil. You have to kill them in the spirit. You have to destroy them where they live. You have to go after them." And these are words that I was speaking this morning. Confirmation after confirmation coming hard. Someone just said, it looks like we're okay with audio. So it continues on and on through this whole prophetic word that she's speaking. As I'm leaving, I encounter her mother. And her mother says, "You know, I just read a book in Africa from an African witch doctor," she said, "who's come to Christ. And what he was explaining is that the only way you will ever stop pedophilia is to destroy them in the spirit." That's two confirmations on something they didn't even know I did a show on, let alone had visions on today. We are organizing to wage a holy war against these people. A holy war in the spirit that must be done. A holy war that the only way we will win this is to literally strike them where they are strong. Strike them where they least expect to be taken on. Because the game that they play is to make us focus on the flesh when all of this origins from the spirit. We must continue this war and do it mightily. Slay these demons in the strongholds where they are, to set these children free and to move forward. Now, there's a lot ahead here, and there's a lot of things stirring. There's a lot of distractions being made. We have the change in this new rule, HR 6090, which obviously is designed to prevent us from discussing those that control and manipulate the narrative. But they're also the ones that are pedophiles. And these pedophiles are also trying to strike out hard to keep us distracted. One of those things that they're doing now is they're prepping the ground for an arrest of President Trump. Why? Because right now, the International Criminal Court is preparing to issue a subpoena for Netanyahu for crimes against humanity. Their counterstrike will be, and very possibly be, an arrest of President Trump. Take a listen to this piece.
If Donald Trump is convicted and faces 4 years in prison, the scenarios are these. If he were to win the election And that could happen because you can be convicted of a felony and still be elected president and serve as president. You can't necessarily vote if you're a convicted felon from prison, but you can serve as president from prison. The inauguration would have to happen from prison. He would have to entertain heads of state from prison. He would have to have staff meetings in prison. He would have to actually do his job as president, maybe from Rikers Island in the beginning, then from some prison in New York.
This is the preparation of narrative. This is how they start to stop on the ground. They get people listening, especially the left, because the left is so eager to see the punishment fall on Trump. These are people that are blind to a word that is not of God, but they worship the creature rather than the creator. And they're in a frenzy right now, wanting to see President Trump destroyed. Why? Because he represents us in a different way, regardless of where we stand with him. President Trump has been the head of a movement that ultimately is seeking to bring accountability to this nation. A nation where we literally have to start looking deep in ourselves as we have to realize that we are a Christian nation, a nation built on the principles of the Ten Commandments and Jesus. And in so doing, we were given those documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. Those documents, which are so profoundly important to our time, to understand that we the people, are the ones that control this country. The government is subordinate to the wills of the people. All of these things are coming together that they're now making lethal strikes, trying to disrupt the movement and hopefully foment a civil war. Now, as we look across the country and we see so much going on in the universities, one thing I would tell you is don't worry. And I say this because it's this. It's on university campuses. Who cares? I mean this quite frankly. Who cares? Let those universities burn. Let those universities collapse. They're the ones that fomented this hate. Let them suffer the hate. But if we want to see change in this, we want to see a transformation in this in a nation, then the other part of this mission is very clear. These people need to see and need to hear the word of Jesus. It isn't about Israel or Palestine. They're both defunct in their own way. One of the things they're both missing is the love of Christ. They're both equally as victims of each other. Right now, Israel as a government is the perpetrator of crimes against humanity off the scales. But it's been pumping the same level of propaganda to its people that we've received on the world here. We are all in a victim mode of being subject to propaganda by the media that's controlled by the same puppet masters. And all of them, regardless of what religion, regardless of what political class, what cult they're part of, they are all pedophiles at the core. Those are the predators of the world. Those are the ones that must be removed, and they must be removed in the most decisive and immediate way. There's no question about that piece. Our world with HR 6090 has now officially become a tyranny in our nation. Matt Gaetz wrote today, "This evening I will vote against the ridiculous hate speech bill called the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. Anti-Semitism is wrong, but the legislation is written without regard for the Constitution, common sense, or even the common understanding of the meaning of the words. The gospel itself would meet the definition of anti-Semitism under the terms of this bill. The bill says the definition of anti-Semitism includes contemporary examples of anti-Semitism identified by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, IHRA. One of those examples includes claims Jews killing Jesus and much, much more. This is where you literally have to embrace defiance and in doing so, not compliance. These people truly, truly want in such a way to crush this nation and put us under their thumb to make us slaves to their system. And they're doing it with emotion, leveraging emotion, and they're doing it with that sort of intensity that comes only from people blinded by emotion, and it's something we can no longer endure. On top of this, coming up very soon is the WHO Treaty. The WHO Treaty is right at the core of all of this, because the WHO Treaty, as they roll in this side of keeping us focused on the anti-Semitic issue, the big power of all of this is now to secure medical tyranny over everyone, to be able to control full nation states in one blow. Greg Reese has a new report, and we're going to listen to it right here. It's powerful, it's important, and it's clear that we must pay attention.
James Rogusky on Substack has been reporting on the so-called WHO pandemic treaty and its history. He has shown that its entire history is fraudulent and relies upon the people's silence. On June 14, 1948, President Truman signed a joint resolution to sign onto the WHO Constitution. Section 2 states that 3 U.S. delegates would be chosen by the president and confirmed by the U.S. Senate. But the Biden administration has sent U.S. delegates who have not been confirmed, which makes them fraudulent. Section 5 states that in adopting this joint resolution, the Congress does so with the understanding that nothing in the Constitution of the World Health Organization in any manner commits the United States to enact any specific legislation program regarding any matters referred to in said Constitution. And so the U.S. is not lawfully compelled by the WHO. On July 25, 1969, the 22nd Annual World Health Assembly adopted the International Health Regulations to ensure the maximum security against the international spread of diseases, but did so without a Senate vote.
The way they did that was with what they call the silence procedure. A bunch of unnamed bureaucrats agreed to that document. They gave a 9-month period for the leaders of all of the parties to reject it. And if no one rejected it on the first day of January 1971, it became legally binding. So any amendments go by that same adoption procedure. So in 2005, they made substantial changes. And for the last 18 or 19 years, we've been working off of the international health regulations as they were amended in 2005. I challenge anybody to look through the Federal Register or the Senate records to see if the Senate has ever given their consent, you know, two-thirds, either in 1948, 1969, 2005, or in 2022.
On September 30th of 2022, 94 nations submitted more than 300 proposed amendments to the pandemic treaty. These documents were withheld from the public, and when James Rogusky acquired copies, he discovered the reason for this was that the disputes were all based upon corrupt world leaders of smaller nations wanting a bigger piece of the action from the U.S. after realizing the billions of dollars being made by pharmaceutical companies.
This is organized crime. And the big crime bosses are being faced by a bunch of little crime bosses who want in on the deal. They want to be able to manufacture the drugs and jabs in country so that they can control it and, you know, inflict it upon their own population while basically profiting from the next pandemic.
And the proposed amendments to the 2005 IHR will bring this tyranny to its full potential. They want to create an international health regulations authority. They want the authority to declare a pandemic based on the mere potential for disease. They want the authority to compel new vaccines and quarantine for those who are not even sick. And they want to authorize surveillance and censorship to enforce their fraud. They also want to give nations the authority to quarantine and vaccinate foreign travelers at their own discretion.
They want to add strengthening language to enable nations to quarantine international travelers as appropriate. That is not an attack on national sovereignty. That is a ridiculous strengthening of national sovereignty that would enable each nation to abuse the rights and freedoms of foreign travelers. The local tyrants that abused your rights over the last 4.5 years didn't need any amendments or didn't need any treaty to do what they did over the last 4.5 years. So the core battle is still local.
You can find these.
And there you go. This is an important point to understand, that we are truly in a place right now that the movements are being made in big sweeping movements to try to put people into a digital and global prison. And with this, to try to censor what we say, to keep us divided, and to keep us preventing anybody from truly, I just read something I'll get to in a minute, and keeping anybody from connecting and building in the strength, which we all know. What is the target? And you have to constantly look at this. What is the target? They're always going after Christians, number one. And just so I highlight this, for those that are wrapped around this belief in Israel, if you're there, then ask yourself a simple question, and it's an important question. If Jesus isn't important to Israel, and Israel denies Jesus, and if Israel isn't against Christians, then ask yourself why they have an entire industry built to try to deny Jesus and prevent those from speaking about him and what they've done. This is a true statement. Someone just wrote in chat, we need a barge jet. Yeah, we do. Like a barge 747 will start moving people around the globe. It's good. That's a good idea. I like that. So we are, the vote, by the way, that went into the House was voted 320 to 91. 21 GOP had the nays. And there were other Democrats. There were more Democrats that voted it down than Republicans. I've told you all along that the Republican Party is the most dangerous party, and it's the most wicked of them all. So, and ultimately, as we say, it is protecting Israel from criticism and more important than Americans' free speech or rights. So we have now, as a country, declared that Israel's rights are more important than Americans' rights, which shows where we are. We are now a colony of Israel, a colony of the Khazarian mafia. And we are now subjugated to their rules that we must protect our precious Jews in such a way that they cannot be spoken about, spoken against. There can't be any criticism. We have created a protected class. The entire purpose of the First Amendment was to open debate on the widest possible ranges. That means that at times the things that we talk about are uncomfortable, as they should. But the deal is here that we must also consider that that means that we grow when we hear those debates. We need the fringes. And I said this the other day, the most disturbing thing that I'm seeing here, regardless of who's president, is they keep taking off the extremes. They want to eliminate the extremes. One is in Trump and one is Biden. They're doing it different ways, but they're both doing the same thing. When we start to eliminate the extremes of the debate, you're pushing everything into a very neutral and very vanilla place in the middle. Everything starts to sound and look the same. That is a form of control and tyranny. We need the fire of the debate. We need the impassioned speakers that are willing to go outside the box. We need the people to be able to speak those uncomfortable truths. The Israelis as a whole, the Jewish people as a whole, refused in these debates. They don't want to debate because they know when they get in these debates that they are so impassioned, intense about it. They see that there's no reason to discuss it because they're right and no one, and everyone else is wrong. That's a protected class. I've been around this too long. Even back in university in 1983, 84, 85, up to 88, it was the same issue. We can't have a protected class. There cannot be protected classes. And just so I say it, Congress and people working in government are the only ones that are allowed to have dual citizenship. None of us are allowed that at all. Now, this is interesting because this comes from Declassified UK. Government imposes blackout on all information about Israeli military planes in Britain. After revealing 9 Israeli Air Force planes landed in Britain in the 4 months after October 7th, the Minister of Defense changes policy and refuses to give any new information, possibly to protect UK ministers from prosecution. It's these 3 bullet points. Defense Minister tells Parliament the MOD does not offer comment or information about Israeli military operations in Britain. Declassified independently found Israeli military jets have landed in 4 locations in the UK since Gaza bombings began. British MP told the parliamentary question is subject to a block by government. The British government that has imposed a block on all information about Israeli military planes landing in the UK amid speculation that the International Criminal Court, ICC, is set to issue arrest warrants for Benjamin Netanyahu and his ministers. The new blackout could be intended to protect British ministers from possible prosecution for complicity in war crimes, including Defense Secretary Grant Shapps. Things are obviously shaking and moving along, but it's worth paying attention to all of the details as we go. We are in a time right now, such a time that we keep looking to people to change this nation. We look to ourselves and no one else. And it is so important. And yet there are so many crazy things continuing to go on. Take a listen to this. This is Mayor Adams of New York. I just want to play this. And I'll tell you honestly, this one's like a head scratcher. Take a listen.
And another significant part of the video was at the end. That's our flag, folks.
How do I agree with this guy so much all of a sudden?
We'll take over our buildings and put another flag up. That may be fine to other people, but it's not to me.
He's making sense.
My uncle died defending this country. And these men and women put their lives on the line. And it's despicable that schools will allow another country flag to fly in our country. So blame me for being proud to be an American. And I thank Commissioner Daughtry for putting that flag back up. We're not surrendering our way of life to anyone.
Eric, welcome to the team.
Don't even ask me to explain that one. We have the mayor of New York that has now become suddenly pro-American. Yep, that was the mayor. Someone asked, is that the mayor? Yes, it was. Unbelievable. Adams, that's who it was. Now, check this out. This is really interesting. This is there is a tweet that was put up as a survey by Elon Musk today. And this one, I have to say, I'm going to vote a major yes on. Propose the law. If someone tears down the American flag and puts up another flag in its place, that person should get a free, but mandatory, one-way trip to that flag's country. Amen. Elon Musk, you continue to make sense, and it is concerning, wondering what you're about and who you are. But we continue to roll with what we see as the world begins to unravel and make less sense day by day. Now, the rancher, Arizona rancher George Kelly, reveals that when he was thrown in jail, inmates threatened him as they walked by him. This is one of these things that's typical of what we can expect in this new world that they have created. George Kelly told Ali Bradley he and his wife lost their life savings fighting the Lawfare murder trial. Remember, he killed an illegal alien that was on his property. I don't feel that I was treated fairly in the investigation, George Kelly told News Nation on an interview. I think I was arrested without cause, without probable cause. You can't put somebody in a situation and try to tell them, oh, you'll be fine here. No, you won't be fine here, George Kelly told Ali Bradley. He said he slept on the floor in jail before being taken to a cell block where he spent 22 days. Other inmates would threaten Kelly and say, dead man walking, as they walked by him. Kelly said that he and his wife planned to move from their ranch in Kino Springs. The full News Nation review with Kelly will air next Wednesday night. This is crazy. And this is an American now who has to give up his dream because our federal government is doing what it does all the time. It's prosecuting, attacking, investigating anybody that challenges their narrative and does the right thing by the Constitution. These people hate the Constitution. They are agents of foreign powers that control our nation. I have to say it over and over. And it is so important to grasp the fact that we are literally an occupied country at this point in time. One of the best memes for the day is a meme with a Bible and it says, come and take it, 100%. Just add some lead next to that and we'll be just fine. You're not taking the Bibles. You're not going to stop the gospel. We're not going to stop preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ because suddenly the New Testament has become illegal. Not going to happen. And that's where we need to ramp it up and speak more boldly and speak more profoundly to this moment to let them know that, frankly, we don't care. And that takes courage. I'm not going to tell you it doesn't. The courage it takes is the courage to be able to stand up to this and say enough is enough. And we must do this. Unfortunately, not enough people are willing to do it. Now, here's another interesting piece, something that is necessary to listen to. The Boeing whistleblower, and there's now a new Boeing whistleblower that came through and is also dead. That makes two in a row. The question is why? What's going on? Boeing was just awarded a $490 million contract or so for Space Force. These are intelligence agencies, three-letter agencies that are all involved in this. They're protecting their backside, it looks like, and appears, as these people are murdered and taken off the board to remove their voice to threaten Boeing's contract that's funded by U.S. public dollars. The biggest thing to understand is we are corrupted at a deep level. This corruption that we are at right now is one that is difficult to comprehend because it's coming at so many levels. When I say comprehend, to get the full picture, universities right now are the bastion of crazy, and one of those places, and Charlie Kirk is one of those people that's engaging them regularly. But these are students now that have been indoctrinated into a concept that notional and emotional is how we make decisions. Take a listen to this engagement.
Question. Sure. What was your name again? I'm sorry.
I don't think I told you. My name's Mercury.
Nice to meet you.
Why are you here?
Okay, I've been asked that question a lot. First of all, that question should not even have to be asked, but when people stop talking, really bad stuff starts. When marriages stop talking, divorce happens. When civilization stops talking, civil war ensues. When you stop having a human connection with someone you disagree with, it becomes a lot easier to want to commit violence against that group. What we as a culture have to get back to is being able to have a reasonable disagreement where violence is not an option.
You think that's not emotional violence?
How is this what is emotional violence, by the way? I don't know what that is.
It is harm intentionally perpetrated on another person, another human being, that is intentionally targeted at their emotional well-being.
Okay, so feelings mean nothing to me. Isn't why we had the First Amendment to try to push our boundaries and to hear things that might make you mildly uncomfortable?
This doesn't make me mildly uncomfortable.
Does it make you very uncomfortable?
It makes me angry.
This is our students today. This is what people are spending tens of thousands of dollars for, to turn these people into idiots, puppets, hand puppets of a state. They literally can't think for themselves, that have only one action that they can do, and that action ultimately is the action of being emotional fools. Hand puppets of a state that controls them and leads them. But that's what we are. This is what our world has become. We have to get tougher. You have to get a spine. You have to endure intensity. We have to be able to step into this now and literally understand that God's calling us to do work in the spirit that is ruthless. It is the level of Joshua. And if this doesn't fit where you want to go, I get it. But this is a time that is time to stand, a time to stand up and take and answer the call. Because where we are at right now in this nation is we've gone way too long, we've gone too much time without doing anything to change the narrative of a nation. Slow, yes, little by little, we focus on the awakening. The core issue now is the war in the spirit. And the war in the spirit has to be waged with intensity, ferocity, ruthlessness. These are things that we now work in to understand that there is an evil. That evil is toying with us. That evil is holding us in place. That evil is chaining us to this ground. We have to improve our engagements with our neighbors and our loved ones. We have to improve that level of love, empathy. But in the sense of evil, there is such a true evil. We have to remember that of all the love, the miracles, the amazing healing, the compassion, the empathy that Jesus, our King, expressed to all, he also detailed a crime and a punishment. When you do harm to the little ones, it would be better for you to have a millstone put around your neck and cast into the sea. That's a pretty powerful statement. It's a statement to understand that there's massive consequence to destroying God's children. And it's something we have to pay close attention to and literally walk in if we're going to win this war. Patriots, in the midst of war, there's always good and there's bad. And it's hard to understand that sometimes in the spirit. We witness it, unfortunately, sometimes in the worst places in the world, where we literally watch others sacrifice their lives for another. There's a clip here I want you to hear. This is a powerful statement from somebody that was in war, and it gives you a glimpse into the heart of somebody who's walked in that hallowed ground where people have literally died, and yet to see wherever there is good or wherever there is bad, there is good.
In my own words, I would describe Combat Outpost Keating as, I don't know, I read somewhere in the Bible, the gates of heaven and the gates of hell are in the same spot. So at the time of the firefight, this was the gates of hell, but watching men, you know, sacrifice themselves to protect each other, you can see the true form of what brotherhood and love is, and so therefore it'd be the gates of heaven as well. It's the best way I can describe it.
It's a powerful statement of truth. When you see another selflessly give themselves for another, there's no greater love. And that happens in the true sense of war. We're in a war. And it's necessary to embrace this war for what it is. It takes a different form. It takes a different place. It looks different. You don't have an enemy that wears a uniform. You're not necessarily getting shot at, but you're being attacked every day. This week, I spent 2 days teaching and providing some insight for life to college students. It's a program which is a school of champions started by Pastor Dave Bryant. These are people that are choosing to, rather than going into university, they're choosing to participate in a program for 6 months to learn about leadership, to look in leadership through the lens of Scripture, leadership through the lens of others who have walked in, had some success in their life, leadership in getting wisdom from those that have been in the world, culminating ultimately in a trip to Africa to experience ministry on the ground in some difficult places. These are insightful students, bright, well-spoken, well-connected, well-read in the Bible. Holy Spirit flows through them. And as we talked about these things today, we talked about the intensities of the world around them. These are people that understood this fight that we're in. They're inspired by the idea of stepping into those authorities what Christ gave us. They're inspired by the idea of being able to wage a war. Many of them hadn't considered it, that we could actually have that control. It's not that we have that control. We were given the authorities by God. And these intensities which we work with now, the ability to wage war against the spirit and win, be victorious, because God will fight with us and through us. The only question is, why haven't we done it earlier? And I put that equally on myself. We've done it in a part, but we haven't done it in a whole. But this is all in God's timing. We have been prepping for this for time and time again in our prayers as we seek to do prayer warfare, prayer healing, prayer deliverance. And we're reminded that we don't have to be in presence to put hands on, but we can reach across a globe, which means we can reach within the spirit. There's not a child out here in incarceration in trafficking that isn't in their heart asking someone to please come and save them. And those children are being sent by God into this world to ignite an innocence, a glory, a love in this world that the enemy is waging a whole holy war on to try to destroy and derail. Obviously, something is coming, something big. And they know it, and they're fearful. And the only answer they can see, the more I pray on this, the more I see it, is that the only solution that they have found is to corrupt the little ones to prevent some event in the future, to limit the destruction that they will face by somehow putting God into a vice and saying, we control your people, now let's call a truce. But God doesn't work that way. God doesn't yield to evil, nor should we. This is time now to start sharpening your sword of the Spirit, polishing those words of the Scripture that you need to use, listening to Holy Spirit to lean in, and preparing to wage war as you build teams, as we unite together, we come in prayer teams across this nation to wage an asymmetric war against this evil, to slay them and to cast them all into the abyss of hell. These are demons, these are entities that are working within the spiritual realm, controlling fleshly bodies to rape, pillage, destroy, harm, mutilate, even eat children. There's no way of describing the level of this evil. And yet we have a control to stop it. We can go into their realm, which they think is safe, and we can disrupt it. We can destroy it. We can slay it. We can tear down those walls, and we can leave nothing but the fields of destruction, leaving all behind, but the power of love that we will place on everything. But love is also accountability. And if they refuse to yield, then we destroy them. This is take no prisoners. This is a warfare of warfares. And it's ultimately a place that we must go in together, and we must fight together. We must have these victories together. We must support one another together, and we must ultimately do this to rescue, to heal, and to restore, always by His will. All right, Patriots, let's pray. Father God, it's going to lift up tonight the children of this world, the children here in both in freedom and those in incarceration. And we're just praying a prayer tonight into their hearts, saying, God, we need to hear them. Let us hear their hearts. For the children that are in good places, we just pray a blessing upon them to continue to lift them up, to continue to let their love and their innocence flow into this world. For the children that are being exploited, for the children that are being trafficked, being raped, being abused, in any way being used for rituals Father, we just pray for their hearts to give them strength and to let them hear the words and touch of Jesus, to let them know that we hear them, we're coming for them. For their captors, for their traffickers, for their abusers, their rapists, their pedophiles. We're placing the power of a curse of Elijah upon them with the authority of the mantle of Elijah to speak this and speak only this, that you may no longer speak lies, but you must speak the truth of who you are in this world. You must reveal to the world who what you do and what you are. You cannot hide anymore in the shadows. For those that violate this, let them be shaken by Holy Spirit. Let them be understand that when you lie to Holy Spirit, that the consequence is immediate judgment. And may immediate judgment fall upon them as you deem, Lord. These people now must be held account for what they are doing in this world. And so now we are waging a war to hold them to account. We are now binding them to the accountability of Holy Spirit. We are binding the words which they speak to be that of only truth, to reveal to the world who they are, to be able to no longer hide in the darkness, to strip that shield from them and to expose them to the light for all to see. And let the hand of judgment fall upon them. Let the truth of what they do be known. Let the hearts that refuse to look, turn and look into them. And may the blood of Christ seal this, to let them know that their doom is there upon them, and there's only one way through. Drop to your knees, repent, and beg for forgiveness before God, and understand that forgiveness will include judgment and accountability upon your head. And with that, perhaps you will be saved. But Father, our role here now is to save the children. So lead us in this time. Lead us in this fight. Give us the discernment and the walk that we need. Give us the clarity for each and every step and every word we speak. Let us have the purity of heart now to step into this arena and fight as you would want us to fight for the children, for the freedom of the children, and in the world of the spirit to know that we have authority over snakes and scorpions and total authority over all of the enemy's plans and efforts and deeds. Let us wage war. And so in Christ Jesus' name we declare, amen. Warriors of Christ, a time now to step in and to fight for the most precious asset that God ever gives us, the children, and to do so in the spirit, to understand that the rules now are victory and only victory, and victory over this evil that tries to ravage and destroy these children. So let evil know and let Satan know that we're on our way. We're fearless. The sons of the Most High have awakened. The earth groaned loud in us, and we finally have moved. And when we come, we will find each and every demon that is doing damage to these children. We will hold you to account, and in the end, send you to the lake of fire. You will live forever in the pain of the suffering that you gave here, times sevenfold. Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war, so walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow morning for Bended Knee. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
Oh, I wanna feel something. I just wanna breathe again. Dive into the deepest end. Oh.